Kansas City, I can't thank you enough for another great weekend. Sold out shows Saturday night. The Comedy Club of Kansas City. Great club. Thank you so much. The Night Pants Nation tour continues. Vancouver, I will be there February 17th through the 19th. Nashville, one night only, Thursday, March 3rd. And Lexington, Kentucky, I will be there Friday and Saturday, March 4th and 5th. Tickets to all dates are available on RyanSickler.com. Get yours today.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to the Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pass Studios. I am Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media. RyanSickler.com. Come check me out on tour, on the Night Pants Nation tour, that is. All tickets are available at RyanSickler.com. Vancouver, February. Let me say that again. Hold on. Vancouver, February 17th through the 19th. Nashville, March 4th. And Lexington, Kentucky, March 5th and the 6th. All right? If you are watching the show, please hit that subscribe on your YouTube. Help us all out over there. And for the Patreon, I got to tell you, look, man, I love my job, and I have you all to thank for that. This show, The Honeydew with Y'all, is just, it's some of my favorite shit ever. Like, sitting and listening to you guys highlight your lowlights is some of my, just, I can't even tell you. I go home, I start telling people, like, I talked to this guy today, fell off a cliff and was paralyzed. Spent the night in the wilderness. They're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I'm like, man, it's $5 a month. All right. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free, and you get the Honeydew a day early ad free at no additional cost. All right. We're keeping it $5. So if you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, please submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully we'll get to do an episode together. All right. That's the news right there. And you guys know what we do over here. We highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. I'm very excited to have this guest on today. First time here on The Do. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Brian Simpson. Welcome to The Honeydew, Brian.
It's me.
Thank you for being here, my friend. We've been trying to make this happen for a while.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's kind of, you like ships in the night and shit, you know.
Well, before we get into anything, please promote, plug everything. Please, the special, all that stuff. Yeah, yeah. Get your phone. Get it all.
Check me out. Netflix, season 3 of the stand-ups, episode 1. That's me. I'm also going to be in Vancouver. Oh, actually, that just got moved. Right? You that was the JFL? You was on
there? No, this is just for stand-up.
So, never mind. So, check that out. I'm being the Irvine Improv on February 9th, Ontario Improv on February 10th, Madison, Wisconsin, February 24th through the 26th, Bakersfield on the 5th, and Philly Punchline, April 8th through the 10th. So, and then the Netflix festival is the end of April. It's all on I'm BS Comedian on all social platforms. BS Comedian. My link tree is right there for the tickets. So go do that.
All right. Yeah, congrats on everything. I was saying earlier, like, I met you, this years ago now in San Diego.
7-8 years ago. Yeah.
And we were backstage in that tiny little ass green room. And I sat and watched you, and I was like, dude, what'd I tell you? I was like, you got it.
Yeah.
Get your ass up to LA. You got it. And look at you. Good for you, dude.
Yeah, man, it's coming.
Well, I'm glad to have you here. I wanted to get into talking about your life story because you told me you're a foster kid twice.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the beginning here. You're originally from D.C., is that right?
I was born in D.C.
All right. Take us through a little bit of Brian Simpson's early years.
Yeah, born in D.C., live with my mom. And, so actually what's so funny is I recently found out that my mom was also a foster kid.
Oh, is that right?
And her mom was a foster kid.
Oh, so it runs in the family.
Some. And so it was like, it's weird shit where like your parents would just drop a nugget on you, when they 60 and you'd be like, what the fuck? Why you ain't ever said nothing about that? No, but I was living with my mom and her mom.
Okay.
In DC. And my grandmother liked to date abusive men, and my mom just couldn't take the shit no more. She ended up burning one of the motherfuckers with her iron.
Really? Your mom did? How old was she? Like a teenager or something at the time?
Yeah, she was, I think she was 18 at the time. and she just got because the dudes would never do nothing to her. Cause that's the line right there for my grandma. Like, don't fuck with my kids. But she just got tired of, you know, waking up and seeing swollen eyes and swollen jaws. You know, and she was like, "Yo, you touch my mother one more motherfucking time." And dude thought she was playing. My mother ain't for play, you know. And she did it. She burned that motherfucker. And it was that. She just got tired of it. And she couldn't. I think she couldn't afford to take us with her.
Uh huh.
So she left us there.
You know? Okay, so you're with your grandma.
So I'm with my grandma.
And who's us? You say us.
Me and my older brother.
Okay.
And so then we had an aunt that lived upstairs.
It's your mom's sister?
My mom's sister in the same building. And she had kids of her own, you know. And we, and I don't know what it is. Because see, another thing too is like my grandmother would get into it with people, you know what I'm saying? Like the slightest sign of disrespect. And
she like, was, give me an example. What do you remember?
Like
what sticks out you seeing like grandma done fuck around? Like, what's the one where you're like, okay.
Like, you know, like one time my grandfather, you know, who, you know, she told him, "Hey, motherfucker, you come by this house one more time and it's going to be some shit." You know, and he thought she was playing and she went and put some daggone oatmeal on the stove. Heated it up real nice. Yep. Soon as he walked in the door, threw that shit on his ass.
No, hot oatmeal?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like she's on that kind of, like she's one of those people where it's like, if she tell you she gonna
right.
do,
yeah.
she gonna do something, yeah. it's happening.
That took prep work.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's one of those type of deals. And
holy shit. Okay.
So I don't know if she got into it with a neighbor or what it was, but somebody called the authorities and said that me and my brother was home by ourselves, which we were. Because everybody was latchkey kids back then. This is the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. So our school was...
Yeah, what year are you born?
I was born in 82.
Okay.
So our school was right across the street. Went to Martin Luther King Elementary. And, you know, so we would walk home and we'd be home for maybe 3 hours by ourselves. And it was nothing. All the kids in the neighborhood did it. So I don't know who was the snitch. But they called the cops. And then, and my dumb ass, because I got to talk all the time. Don't open the door, you know, even for me, don't open the door for nobody, you know. But they had just started this thing in the schools where the cops would come to the school with, like, candy and shit. And it would be like, officer friendly.
Dude, that's creepy as shit right there. That's the whole message is don't take candy from strangers.
Yeah, but didn't apply to cops, I guess. And they was officer friendly. So every officer was officer friendly, which is something else I didn't put together at that time. But they all said their names was officer friendly, you know, and it was that kind of shit. And the cop knocked on the door, and I remember my brother standing right here, like looking at me, like "Don't you fucking open," you know. But it was like, "It's officer friendly," and I'm like, "Well," so I opened the door, and they took us down to the police station, and all I remember is we sitting there eating pizza at the police station, and all I remember is my grandmother coming in that motherfucker on 10, just like going off. Because it was one of them things where it was like everybody, kids at home, be home by themselves.
Yeah, we were. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like we poor.
Of course, everybody right? was.
So she was just like, "Why y'all fucking with my family?" You know, and it was that kind of thing. And it got to the point where like they were like, "Ma'am, we gonna have to sit you back in the cell back there," you know? And she calmed down. She took us home. But that was a whole other thing. And then maybe like.
Did you ever find out who did that? Did she ever find out?
No.
Who'd she suspect?
I don't know who she suspected. Maybe she suspected it was our aunt.
Oh, really? Family? I'm thinking neighbor. You're thinking family member, huh?
Well, because that's who we ended up with.
Because like, she was upstairs.
Yeah, like 2 weeks later, we ended up upstairs, living upstairs.
And where's grandma?
Still downstairs.
But she just had to go up there and be supervised upstairs now?
Nah, she was just like, you know, I don't know. She just wasn't around. You know,
okay.
I think she felt betrayed or she, well, I don't know what it was. But then, you know, obviously it's hard to go from having two kids to having four kids overnight. You know what I mean? So our auntie was like, "Well, I can't afford to do this and this and that." And so my older brother and I, we have different dads. So his dad's mom was already a foster parent. And you know, in the state is like, licking their chops at that shit because they want to put you with family. You know, they try to put you with family first before they even put you in a home. Mm-hmm. But family that's already a home, they went for that. So, but I did not know this. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't know which part. Did they want to put you in a home or did his mom was already?
No, I didn't know we was going to a home.
I see.
So this is. 'Cause
how old are you right at this moment?
At this point, I'm six.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe going on seven. Sure, you know what I mean? But I remember them going, y'all going to Pi's house for Christmas. So, you know, that's dope because even though Pi could be a bit much around the holidays, she was cheery, everybody getting gifts. She could cook like a motherfucker. She lived in the suburbs. So it's like, oh, we leaving the hood. We going to the suburbs. We're going to have a good ass Christmas, good ass meal. You know, it's mad kids.
Is it suburbs of Maryland or Virginia?
Suburbs of Maryland.
Okay.
And this was Temple Hills, which maybe it's not even a good neighborhood no more. You know, shit change up so fast now. But we go over there, and then it got to the point where, you know, we were there for maybe a week. You know, we had got a little gifts and shit. Everybody had Nintendos. They had cable.
Look at your eyes, man.
Yeah, bro. Because we ain't had no damn cable. I was like, they got cable over there. But after about a week.
The simplest shit.
A week, it's like. It was like, all right, now, the holiday cheer starting to wear the fuck off. Everybody's starting to be themselves, and I'm ready to go the fuck home. You know what I mean? And then I got into it with one of the other kids, you know, and I was like, well, fuck you then, bitch, because I'm going home. So you ain't got to worry about it. You know what I mean? She was like, what you talking about? Y'all live here. I'm like, what?
You got moved in and you didn't even know?
I didn't know.
You're the only one.
I was the only one that didn't know. And that...
Man.
That feeling...
You tell me about it.
That activated something in me.
Hearing it gives me anxiety.
Because when you're that young, you don't have the words, right, for your...
The vocabulary.
For your emotions,
communicate
right.
That.
But
yeah.
It was betrayal. I felt betrayed. And I didn't know how to say it.
By who?
You know, I think at the time I didn't identify the person, but it was as I got older, I realized it was my aunt.
Your aunt.
Yeah, I felt betrayed because I'm like, how come you didn't trust me with the knowledge that this is what was going to happen? You know what I mean? Because a lot of times as adults, you tell yourself that you're not saying shit to your kids for them. You're telling yourself that you're protecting them, but in reality, you're protecting yourself.
Now, did your older brother know?
I think he knew before I did.
Okay.
But
everybody at that house knew you all were coming to live there.
Yeah, everybody at that house knew I was going to live here. And a
week slips by without it coming out.
Yeah, and my aunt kids knew we was going to live there. You know what I mean? I was the last one to know, and I was pissed about it. You know what I mean? And it informed, I stopped trusting adults right then. You know, I was just like, fuck all of y'all. Maybe it wasn't right at the exact moment, but it just put me, it was like I went from trusting all the adults in my family completely to like questioning them.
You know? I mean, look, it makes sense. When you can't trust the adults in the family, you sure as hell are going to have a difficult time trusting the ones outside the family.
Yeah. What I couldn't wrap my head around is like, why don't they trust me? Why didn't they, you know what I mean?
Right.
And it takes a while to unlock all of that.
Brian, I can't tell you how many relatives, my grandma, everybody, will tell you when you get older. Guess what? They're all dead.
Right.
They never told me. I'm like, fucking tell me, man.
Y'all gonna write it down? Do I got to hold a candle up to a wall?
They all said that shit.
Yeah. And so then... I think that lasted. I think I was there the longest.
That was the foster home you were talking about?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the first
foster
home.
That's the first one. All right.
Yeah. There were a lot of kids there. There was like, you know, there were maybe 9 kids there.
All right. So from doing this show and talking to people who've been in foster care, I understand that it's a system and these parents also get a check. And sometimes the kid is just a check. They don't really look after you. Are you being cared for? Are you really being?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. The thing is, to be honest with you, most of the homes I were in were, you know, very few of them that I feel like were like warehousing kids. Because here's the truth of the matter is, it ain't that big of a check.
Yeah, I never thought so either. Because I have a child. I'm like, that ain't shit.
No. Yeah, it's not that big of a check. And so for you to have for you to be on that, you'd have to be you know, literally like stuffing kids on top of each other. You know, you'd have to have six kids in a room and multiple rooms for you to be like just doing it for money. I don't think most parents were doing that. No.
But then what, tell me this, what is the goal of foster care? Is it the hopes, I know, but is it the hopes that their parent gets right and then they can go back to their families? Or is it let's educate them on life here in this home so that when they go off, they're okay? Or is it both? Does it depend on the parent? You know, like you said, you were in twice and eventually you got out. Is that because you were 18 and got out, or because you went back home to a parent?
Because I was 18.
Okay, so you never did. Your mom never came back at like 12 or 15 and got you.
Well, she couldn't.
Why?
Because when she came back, because I stayed in that home for till I was 11.
Okay.
And then my father came back and got me out.
All right. So now you're with dad.
Now I'm with dad, but I'm separated from my brother because we have different dads. Right. And it was something to do with the fact that, like, in order for him to take sole custody, they had to take her parental rights in absentia, you know, because they didn't know where she was.
Right.
And so when she came.
So she was gone. No one knew where she was?
No.
Oh, okay.
So she came back like a year after that, but she don't have the parental rights. So she can't take you.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So now you're with dad for how long?
For 2 years.
And what's that like? Because you're 11. You're old enough to remember shit like that now. Like, what's he like as a parent? Like, what was it like?
Well, see, me and my dad always had a weird relationship because, you know, I think it was more my stepmother that was like, you got to go get your son. And he was more like, I got my life. Because, okay. Again, it's like having an extra kid. It's like, can you imagine somebody dropping an extra kid on you right now? You know, and it's like.
We got a puppy and I can't take it.
And that motherfucker's 11.
Right.
So he don't got no respect for you. He ain't got, you know what I mean? It's that kind of thing. It was like, so me and him always had that weird relationship. It was always like this. It was like, you know, I recognize that you're dad and you recognize him, but also fuck you. You know, it was that kind of energy. But I got into it mostly with my stepmom. Like, and when one time the shit came to a head and they're like, yo, you got to get the fuck out of here.
Over what? What are you fighting over?
I don't even remember. I don't remember what the exact fight was over. Oh, you know, actually I do remember. I remember because we bought a house and my room was in the basement. And my brother and sister, so they already had two kids, my brother and sister. And they had bedrooms, and my room was in the basement, which I thought was cool at first, but the fucking bugs and shit would come out. You know what I mean? And it was like, and I can't do it. I can't deal with it. And so I used to drag my mattress upstairs and sleep in the living room.
Every night you'd be dragging that bitch up.
And I would wake up early before everybody and drag it back down in the basement.
No, they didn't even.
Yeah. And so shit came to a head. She caught me one time and she was like, yeah, don't do that shit, you know? And then fast forward, this was like around Christmas time. It was like over Christmas break. And my dad had asked us all what we wanted for Christmas. And my brother and sister were like, well, we want TVs. And I was like, I don't want a TV. I want a computer, you know? And he got them both like two 19-inch TVs. And I'm sitting here opening up my computer, and it's a daggone, it's like a child's computer. It's like a speaking spell.
Nah.
It's like, yeah. I thought, oh, this is a prank. Right? No, it was not a prank. It was not a prank.
This Texas Instruments right here.
I was so pissed. I went down. I ain't come back out the basement for the whole Christmas break. I had my own bathroom and everything. I was so mad. And then it was time to go back to school.
Oh, shit.
And I remember it was time to go back to school, and I had dragged my mattress back up in the room, and I got caught again. And it would turn into this big old fight and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, fuck you, bitch, blah, blah, blah. And that was a wrap. And I ended up going down the street to live with my cousin. And I got into a fight with her. And I ended up going back and living with my brother's grandmother again.
Okay.
But this time, not as a foster kid. This time, it was
you're
like
an adult now.
No, I'm not an adult.
You're not 18 at this point?
No. Okay. This is all in a...
That's when you got out. Gotcha.
No, this is like, I'm like 12.
Okay.
At this time, or 13. And...
So you're bouncing around everywhere.
Yeah.
How are your grades?
Fuck grades. I wasn't thinking about that shit at all. I did not give a fuck.
Was any adult giving a shit either?
Oh, yeah. They would always... They'd try to hit me with the, you need to apply yourself and all that. And I'm like, bitch, you don't got no idea what you're talking about. You know what I mean? Because I remember...
But wait, you said bitch, which makes me laugh because it's a woman at least that took the time to say it. Ain't no dude telling you that at all.
Well, the thing is, I didn't say bitch.
No, I know, but I'm saying the reason you responded was because there were women that at least stepped up. I'm saying guys aren't saying shit like that to some kid. Like, you need to buy it. Some lady at least.
It was always women begging me to try. And I was just like, fuck you. That's how I felt, you know? And and I remember I got into it again with my
stepmom.
I'm back living with. I got into it with my brother, and then I got into it with one of the other kids there.
Why? What are you fighting about? Does it go back to that fire that got lit when you were betrayed?
Man, no. It was just I had this tremendous feeling of like unfairness. And when I felt like something was unfair, like you just couldn't tell me shit. You know what I mean? It was like I demand I was like, I demand that somebody listen to my concerns. You know what I mean? It's like I wasn't a kid that you could just be like, because I said so. That wasn't enough for me. It had to make sense to me, you know? And a lot of adults back then, they weren't taking the time to do that. They're like, listen, I don't got time to be explaining shit to no children, you know? So that's really what it all stemmed from. And then by that time, my stepmother and my father had gotten divorced or at least separated. And I went back and lived with my dad by myself. Right. And all of this happened in like a year and a half. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Yeah. And then I'll never forget, man. My dad had this wild shit where, like, because again, me and him always had this distance, you know what I mean? And so, my dad, he wasn't no lazy motherfucker, you know what I mean? He always worked 2-3 jobs, this and that. And so he would always be gone. Like, he would get up at, you know, he would get up at like 8, leave the house, and not come back until like 6 in the morning. You know, sleep for a couple hours, get up and go back. You know what I mean? And the thing is, I wasn't allowed to leave the house if he wasn't home because he knew I'm mischievous. You know, I'm going to do what I want.
Yeah.
So I was just always in the fucking house, you know? And I remember he had these, he started doing this little thing where he would like put a piece of paper up in his door so he could tell if I went in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I cracked that system real quick. And so.
How'd you crack that one?
I would just do it back. I was like,
take it out and put it back.
I was like, well, however he doing it, I can do it, right? Because he's leaving the room. So then he just straight up started locking the door. Like, he bought a lock and put it on the door.
What's in there that he's worried about you fucking with?
I don't even know. But the thing is, I wouldn't have gave a fuck if he hadn't locked the door, right?
That's what I'm saying. He's making you want to get in there.
I learned how to break in there with a credit card.
Me too. I was good at a credit card.
I slide on him. And,
I got that bit.
And then I remember... he had this big ass jar of chocolates that I don't know if it was for his hoes or what, but
that chocolate's for my hoes.
Yeah, but it was like it was or for a specific hoe, but it was like
but he kept that shit locked up behind the locked door too.
Right, it was on top of his dresser, but it had it was like, you know, those jars that like the like where you would get the assorted popcorn in and shit.
Mm-hmm, yeah,
and
totally.
it had the shrink wrap seal around just around the top third of the jar. So I learned I learned how to twist the plastic and the top at the same time. And I was disciplined with it, you know. I would eat one of the motherfuckers. I would just eat one. And but you know how when you're that old, even at your most clever, you're not as clever as you think.
Yeah, no. Right? You're leaving fucking evidence. All kind of
right.
Yeah.
And so one day it just got to the point where even though I had taken my time, after a couple of months, it was apparent that somebody was eating these chocolates. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And my father came home one day. He was like, "What the fuck?" He came home. He's like, "Yo, what?" And I'll never forget. I'm sitting there watching TV. And the thing is, it wasn't uncommon for us to not speak at all. You know, because that's the thing. His schedule was he would leave in the morning right after I left for school. And I wouldn't see him again until the morning time.
And you latchkey, you come home, let yourself in, you wouldn't see him again.
But every once in a blue moon, he would come home at some random fucking time. You know, it's like, it ain't like he told me his schedule, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So this was one of those times. He came home at a random fucking time, and I'm sitting there at night, I'm watching TV, because I was obsessed with Star Trek, because that's all that was on, you know what I mean? Because when you have cable. And he goes, you been in these fucking chocolates? And I was like, nah. And he was like, then what the fuck happened to him then? And I don't know what came over me, but I could have just been like, I don't know, which would have still been a lie. But I said, I don't know, nigga. Like, like I said it like, what you trying to do about it? You know what I'm saying? Which was a mistake. Like, the moment the words came on my lips, I was like, why did you say it like that? Right? Like, where did that come from? Bruh, and I'll never, within a second, he had yoked me up off the couch. Like, because here's the other side to it, too, is you got to understand, he's back here behind me.
Yeah.
So,
I
just threw it over my shoulder at him and went back to watching TV like I had bodyguards or something. You know what I mean? And I never again. I was eating like a TV dinner or something, and that bite never made it in my mouth. It was like, yeah. I got yoked up from behind the couch. And like I said,
that was the second time I went into foster care.
Exactly. That night was the last night that I was lying in foster care.
I was making a joke.
No, that was it. But the police, because he yoked me up against the wall, and I could tell, like,
are crazy for saying that. Even if you have a good parent, they're gonna snap.
Oh man, and I could tell, like, he didn't want to hurt me, he wanted me to. He wanted me to know that he could. You know what I mean?
It was
that
kind of thing.
It was hurting him to hold me up against the wall. Like, man, what you about to make me fucking fuck you up? You know what I mean? And I was like, I just had a spirit in me that day, man. And I was like, well, it was like, you know, I can't beat you, but you got to go to sleep. I said that to him.
You said that?
Yeah. And that's
man, you doubled down.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, man.
He got rid of you.
Because
I do need to sleep.
It just felt so unfair, man. Because I was like, why you don't give a fuck what I do no other time of the day, motherfucker. You don't never talk to me. You don't see me never. You know what I mean? And now it's like, now you get to come home and disciplinary. Like, what? Like, fuck you. Like that's what I was feeling, you know? I ain't understand what it was like to be a parent and be working three jobs and not to worry about your kid. You know, I ain't understand all that. I ain't give a fuck either. You know, even if I understood, I probably wouldn't have cared. But I was just like, yeah, you don't get to come home and boss me up, you know? And it's like, yeah, go to sleep. I dare you. It was that kind of thing. And so he called the cops.
The cops? Yeah. How old are you?
I'm
15?
I'm probably 13.
And he called the cops on you? His 13-year-old son?
Yeah, because what else could he have did?
So what happens to a 13-year-old when his dad calls the cops on him for threatening him?
I jumped ahead of schedule. First he called my cousin from down the street.
Okay.
And she showed up. Like, first he called family, and they showed up, and I was like, fuck all y'all too. You know what I mean? It was that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, you know, and by then the cops are on the way, and the cops show up, and I'm like, fuck y'all too. You know what I mean? Yeah. I remember, I'll never forget, it was two cops, it was a male and a female. And the female was trying to tell me, like, hey, you need to stop talking to my
always
partner like
women
that.
Women wanting to be nice.
Because this could go real bad for you. Like, stop talking to him like that. And I'm like, fuck you, bitch. Fuck you. But this time I was saying, bitch. Fuck you, bitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And anyway, they dropped me off at a...
dropped you off?
Yeah, yeah.
Where? Where did they take you? Did they cuff you?
They did not cuff me.
Okay.
Well, maybe they did. I don't actually remember.
You went peacefully at the end of that?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, I did.
So you sit in the back of the car and they drop you where?
They dropped me at the, it was like the juvenile detention center.
Oh, so you're going to it. Now, have you ever been there before?
I was there.
No, that was your first time?
That was my first time.
Are you scared? Do you even know where you're going when you're in this car?
I don't even know. Nope. I have no idea.
Are you so angry or are you scared? I mean, 13 years old being put into a detention center away from everybody you know, does it sound good because everyone that you should love and trust has been betrayed you, or is it fucking terrifying?
I don't know because I don't remember being scared. I just remember just being like, whatever. You know, like I didn't care, you know?
How much of that do you remember going in that place?
I don't.
You don't?
Because it wasn't for that long. It was only,
are you in a cell, a room?
I'm in a big ass, I don't know, almost like a squad bay.
Like a hall? Like a military hall, barracks? Okay.
And there's like, I don't know, maybe 20 beds and 20 dudes in there. And I remember the social worker telling me, like, this is just temporary, blah, 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 because you haven't, like, committed a crime. You know, so this is just temporary because there's nowhere else to put you.
Right. Okay.
And I think I was there for maybe like a week or two.
Damn. Okay.
And I'm just trying not to get into no fights while I was there. And then they found me. Then they found me like a dope home. And I remember the lady pulling up to this house.
Who was this lady?
The social worker lady. And she wasn't
I mean the place you're going, the family.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. I pull up to this family, and I was like, whoa. These motherfuckers lived in the burbs. You know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, like where? Nice. Like Rockville, Montgomery County?
No, this was Suitland.
Okay. I don't know that.
Oh, so they lived in Suitland, and they pull up, and man, these motherfuckers got Christmas decorations. Like, I never seen, like, Rudolph and shit blinking in black. And I was like, holy shit, like, this is the house? And she was like, no. It's the house right next to it. And there wasn't shit on that house. I was like, okay.
No, it's this one right here.
Yeah, this lady. But this,
we were just turning around in this driveway, but it's this
right, exactly. But it was cool though. That lady. So she was probably the best foster mother.
Mental health has definitely become a part of the global conversation, especially recently after a worldwide pandemic. We've got fentanyl. You talk about all of it. All right. New Mood is here to guide you to mental wellness and give you the tools you need to tackle stress, so you'll feel empowered to take on whatever life throws at you. All right. They have a team of dedicated coaches, so you have a support system helping you. And my favorite thing about it's that it's literally a step-by-step guide to help manage your mental wellness, and you can do it at your own pace. All right. You can arm yourself with the knowledge and skills for happiness, and all you need is 10 minutes a day. All right. It's an app, so it's there for you anytime, anywhere. All right. Worry less and feel happier. Okay. You can sign up right now for your trial at noom.com/honeydew. That's noom.com/honeydew. Start your trial today. Take care of your mental health. Everyone's always worried about their physical health and hitting the gym and everything, and mental health is absolutely just as important. All right. Take care of yourself today. Again, that's noom.com/honeydew. Now, let's get back to the do. Okay. Now, what kind of lady is this? Why is this lady looking for a 13-year-old boy? How does she find you? Why does she pick you?
I mean, I think you know, they call them and they go, hey, this is the thing. This is what's wrong with this kid. Do you got room?
What do you know what they classified you as? Just anger?
I don't know what they classified me at that point. Mm-hmm. But I do know that if you keep moving, you get classified as a problem child. And then you can only go to homes.
You're like the Antonio Brown and the foster care.
Exactly, exactly. So it, I wasn't a problem child yet.
Okay, yet. All right.
No, but this lady, she was big on like young black men and taking them and turning them into men.
Okay.
And like, you know, teaching you how to, you know, make your bed.
Was she a black lady?
Yeah, okay. Big time. Make your bed, iron your clothes, you know, go to church, this kind of thing. And she's still alive, man. She still look young.
I was gonna ask, do you keep in touch with her or let her know how you're doing?
Yeah, I still call her.
Does she know you have your Netflix special?
I haven't talked to her since that, but I'm gonna call her soon.
You should.
But I don't even, man. I don't know what she's gonna say about it.
What can she say? She helped.
She was like, all the profanity. No, but I remember she was the most disciplined lady I ever knew. She would fast every month.
Really?
Every month for a week, she would fast.
Is it just a health thing, or religious?
Man. I think it was just a discipline thing.
Wow.
Yeah, she still looked young. Maybe it's something to that. You know, and she.
So, how many guys were in the house when you were there at a time? Would you say
there were four of us?
Four. Okay.
Yeah, all from various issues.
And are you guys working to help her in her home, or does everybody have their own thing going on outside the home? Like, are you upkeeping the place, or is this just a lady taking?
Oh, you mean
guys
like
in?
Are there chores?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's, okay. There's chores, and there's
so you said suburbs. Is there a yard you got to take care of? Leaves you have to rake, shit like that.
You got to do all that. In fact, not only do you
matter of fact,
do,
you got to put up the Christmas decorations for the neighbors.
No, it wasn't no Christmas decorations. It was
no
like,
for the neighbors.
Oh no, nah. But it was like you got to go. Shovel the neighbor's driveway. Mm-hmm. You got to go do all that too. Yeah, and it was like, but it was cool for a minute. And I remember I got into it with one of the other kids again.
Why?
Because I was the youngest one, man, and he was just such a bully, dog. And I couldn't. And I remember I was so at this point. I remember I was sitting on the stairs crying one time, and she was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, I was like, he won't stop fucking with me. And she was like, then punch his ass in the mouth.
She said that.
Yeah. She was like, what you want me to do? I can't show up every time somebody messing with you. And I was like, all right, bet that. And I kicked him down the stairs.
It's way different.
Yeah, because I'm like, if I punch him in the mouth.
I paralyzed his ass.
No, it was only like five stairs. But I was just like, because he was bigger than me, and I'm like, he's going to whoop my ass. But if he's going to whoop my ass, I'm going to make it worth it, you know?
Yeah.
So I kicked him downstairs. And that turned into, you know, a whole thing where they were like, you know, he need to be somewhere where he ain't got to fight, you know? So they moved me, and they moved me to another home. These two women were friends.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know, and in this home, this was probably like one of the lowest points. Because this next home, it was in another nice couple. This was the only home. This was the first home I was in where there was a father.
All these homes so far, this is the first.
Yeah. And
what was that like?
It was cool, man.
Did you like it? Did you like having a male role model around? Was he a positive male role model?
Yeah, he was a positive male model. You know what I'm saying? He was like.
Tell me about him. What'd he do? Do you remember what he did for a living or?
I think he was a real estate guy.
Okay. He funny? What was he like?
He was funny. He was very like no nonsense, you know? He was one of those dudes where like he ain't have to hit you or threaten you, you know, just him being disappointed would be like, oh fuck, make you feel, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It was that kind of thing. And he ended up passing away from some kind of cancer.
While you lived with him?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was
awful. So you saw that?
Yeah. I mean, I saw it when it was like everything was fine.
Right.
And then hospital and then gone, you know?
Man.
And,
I mean, what's that like? That's the first male positive male role model and he just dies in front of you.
I don't know, man. You know, I guess at the time I was trying to act like it didn't bother me. And that bothered some people in the family, you know, and then I was getting into it with them, you know, and it was a whole thing. But I remember this was the same place where there was one of the older kids had, one of the former kids that you had lived there came and like left a pistol there for one of the older other kids to watch.
Okay.
You know, and he used to come. He used to, he was to fuck with me with it all the time. Like he would be like, boom, boom. And he
And I woke up one time and he was like, don't fucking move. Don't fucking move. And I thought somebody had broken the house because I could feel the gun on me. And then they turned on the lights.
You had it on your head?
Oh, yeah. And I was like, and they turned on the lights and it was them laughing, everybody laughing and shit. I was like, all right, I got you. You know, and then one day he was like in the shower getting ready for a date or whatever. And I fucking got the pistol and I racked it one time. I got the pistol and I dropped the clip out because that's what I saw him do. You know, but I didn't know it was one in the chamber. Yeah, and I fucking was playing, bang, and that motherfucker went off.
What do you mean it went off? You pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I pulled the trigger for sure. And it went off.
Did it hit anybody?
Yeah, hit him in the stomach.
What? You shot him in the stomach while he was in the shower?
No, it was after he got out of the shower.
Oh, my God, dude, for real?
But it was a 22, you know, and that shit, 20, it won't, like, break bone or it'll bounce around.
Yeah,
man, and that was one of the worst nights of my life.
What the fuck are you thinking right away?
I panicked, you know what I'm saying? And he told me to call his friend.
Not 911.
No, right. He was like, call my friend. And I called his friend, and his friend was like, what the fuck? Don't listen to him. Call 911, you know? But by then, the neighbors had called 911. You know, it was like all of that.
It was loud. They heard it, huh?
Yeah, they heard it. And
is he screaming? Is he yelling? Or is he holding it together?
No, he's just going, oh.
Is it bleeding out in front of you? You seeing it?
It's bile. It's like green.
No.
Yeah. At the time, I didn't know that that was bad, but I knew. It was like,
yeah, I mean, if it ain't red.
I mean, red is bad, but what the fuck is green, right?
There you go.
Yeah, right, exactly. And so I remember them.
And who's home with you? Just you two?
It's just us. And I remember when the ambulance and them finally showed up. By the time the ambulance got there, mom's was back already too with all the kids. I don't forget where they had gone. And I remember her like looking at me like, what the fuck is going on? And I ain't had no answers for her. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And this lady was so sweet, man. It was like, I ain't wish nothing like this on her, man. Because it hurts more now looking back on it because now as an adult, I know how hard it is to raise children and all the little emergencies that could pop up that, you know what I mean? And sometimes the shit can just be too much, you know?
Yeah. And no offense, she's got four difficult children.
Yeah, well, this is a new lady.
Well,
at this time, how many kids is her house? No, she's got three kids.
Three, okay.
Yeah, but she just lost her husband.
Right, he's died. He's dead now. Like, shit's gone wrong. It's that kind of shit.
And I remember...
Well, what happens to this kid? They come take him.
So they come take him. They take him to the hospital.
Are you freaking out that this kid could die and now you're going to be going away for murder? I'm like, freaking, what's going through your fucking mind?
I'm freaking
mind?
Out because the ambulance is there. The paramedics are there. And they can't go in the house. They can't go in the house until the house is clear, till the cops clear the house.
Oh,
because
of the gun.
Because I didn't tell them the truth.
What did you tell them?
I told them somebody ran in and shot them.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Okay. So they know that something's weird. Yeah.
No, well, they took me at my word. I was like, let's make sure they're not still in the house.
I see the person. Okay.
Yeah. And so, but I'm sitting there like, I know I've lied because he told me to lie. Like, I'm trying not to get the wrong people in trouble or the wrong people's names involved. But they can't go in until they know ain't nobody in there. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But he's sitting right over, through the window dying. You know, it's that kind of shit. So I was freaking out from that. And they take me to the police station and they're like, at the time I thought this dude had just like, you know, the dude from what's the joint with the Irish dudes? The classic movie with the Irish brothers. And they like pray before they kill you and shit. You know what I'm talking about?
Is it Boondock Saints?
Boondock Saints. Yes. Okay. And you know Willem Dafoe in the thinking he just Willem Dafoe me and it, because he basically this cop sat down and he was like, look, so this is what I think happened. And he was like, I think there was a gun in the house. You were playing with the gun. It went off and you panicked. And this and that. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, shit, he's right. Fuck. But I still try to log in. I'm like, blah, blah. He's like, listen. You called somebody else when everybody else was calling the police. So either it was an accident and you panicked, or it was on purpose and you tried to cover it up. So which one is going to be? It was that kind of shit. Right. I was like, okay. And we went, anyway, they took me out of that home. And I actually end up going back to the previous
home. What happened to the kid?
I don't know at this point.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I'm not allowed to contact them or him.
Okay.
So, in fact, I remember, I mean, I skipped ahead a lot, but as I was sitting in the hospital with them, it was like shit didn't add up, and people in the family were slowly starting to like figure out that like I wasn't telling the truth, and it started getting kind of hostile. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah, and
so who takes you in knowing that you just shot somebody? Who's that parent?
I went back to the previous house.
Nah, they took you back.
Yeah, I was just there temporarily till they found somewhere else.
Okay.
And then I forget where the fuck ended up happening after that, but I ended up, now I'm a problem child.
Obviously. Okay, now officially you're a problem child. Yeah, you got a weapon.
Right. So now I end up going to this house way over in where the fuck is it? Like over there on Riggs Road, you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. It's like a giant over there. What is that? Is that Hyattsville?
I love hearing giant, yeah.
But anyway, I end up going to another house, and this house is like everybody fucked up in here. It's probably like six kids, and all of them are way worse off than me. You know what I'm saying? There's people that have been through some shit. You know what I mean? People that have been sold and kidnapped and some more shit, you know? But this house was all, it was crazy, you know? And without getting too much into it, I just I think I stayed here for the longest time, though.
Do you have your own room, or are you always sharing a room?
Always sharing.
Always
sharing.
Never have privacy.
Never had my own room. And I ended up getting into it with the father at this house, because we used to wake up and do this paper route with him. Like, we would wake up like 4 a.m, go sort these papers, toss them, blah, blah, blah. And I didn't know. I was like, these are our chores, blah, blah, blah. And then I found out, you know, how much money he was making off of it. And he wasn't. And so one day I was like, hey, I need this or that for school. And he was like, get the fuck out of here. I'm like, what? Like, all this work we do for you, you don't give us nothing. I'm asking you for something I need. Fuck you then. So the next day he did the call and tried to wake everybody up to come help him, and I didn't come. You know, and it turned into another thing where I was like defiant, you know. And I ended up going to this group home that was way out in, I want to say, Anne Arundel County. Mm-hmm. And I got caught. This was the first school I went to where, like, you could leave school for lunch, and I got caught smoking weed in the woods. These motherfuckers had cameras in the woods.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
That's early to be having cameras in the woods, too.
Yeah, this
man.
Is high school.
They were ready.
Yeah, they had cameras in the woods, and they daggone.
How'd they catch you? What, they called you in?
Well, they were watching us. They were watching us smoke, but I was the only one that they had pictures of. With the blunt to my mouth. And for whatever reason, just by chance, we were done smoking. When we came out the other side of the woods, they were waiting for us, right? And it just so happened that they couldn't find the blunt and they couldn't find the weed. And it was in my pocket.
Okay.
But they patted us down a whole bunch of times and they couldn't find the weed. But they had pictures of me smoking. And they were trying to get me to snitch on everybody else. And I didn't. And I'll never forget the lady being like, because the badass kid who was the bad influence, and he was the bad influence, but she was like, why are you protecting this motherfucker, this and that? And that's when I got on the principal, because I was like, so I skipped this part. When I first got to the school, I had like made up my mind, like, okay, this is my last chance. By this time, I'm like 16 or 17, and I'm telling her, like, look, I get into this math class, and I'm like, hey, I don't know how to use this fucking calculator. You know what I mean? I don't even know what this curriculum is, but like, can you give me some extra worksheets or some shit? And she's like, nah. And I'm like, no, I don't think you understand. Like, I'm here through no fault of my own. Like, I'm a foster kid, and this is a new curriculum. This is a whole other school district. I don't know what's going on. And she was like, I don't care. And I complained, and nobody did anything. And so now I'm sitting in the principal's office, and she's talking about the future, blah, 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 and stop protecting this bad person. I was like, why are you protecting that teacher? That won't fucking teach me. You know
good
what I mean?
For you, yeah.
Yeah, and then that was a wrap there. And I ended up going back to the previous house. And then I end up going back to live with my stepmother.
God damn, dude, you're just bouncing.
Yeah. And then that's when I joined the Marine Corps because I was like, man, fuck all of this.
So even then you're sleeping with a bunch of people too. What age did you finally have your own room for the first and only time? Were you able to shut a door where just you went to bed in it? How old were you?
I was 26.
Damn.
Yeah, I'm 39 now. I was 26. And I've never had my own place.
Ever?
No. So I was 36. I was about to change this year, obviously. But yeah, never had my own room before I was 26, I think.
The closest you really got to peace and quiet was probably the time you lived with your dad when you wouldn't see him up until... he whooped your ass.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I had my own room then.
I was going to say, yeah. But I'm saying you spent a lot of time alone, so you probably had peace and quiet at least for a little bit there.
Yeah.
So I hear all this anger and this rage and everything. Have you done therapy? Have you really looked at where it comes from? Is it that moment? Is it the fucking moment they told you you live here? That's it. Yep. Is that really it?
Yeah, that's where it all began. Yeah, it was that moment. It just, it was like that moment of like, this is unjust. This is unjust, you know?
So how do you keep it in check now?
I just stay away from things that stress me out. You know, I mean, I've done a lot of like meditating and cognitive behavioral therapy and that sort of thing. So I don't just go off no more. You know, it's still a lot of anger in me, but I keep it. You know, plus I think it has something to do too. Like, you know, once you start pushing 40, you know, you got to have other problem solving skills other than I'll fuck you up.
You know, yeah, what I mean? Sooner or later, you're going to lose a lot of those.
right.
If you're still fighting in your like 40s, you got
the last
problems.
Thing I want to be is like that old ass, drunk ass uncle that's always getting knocked out at the function.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just learned, once I learned, like, oh, you got the gift of gab, you know, you should be able to talk your way in and out of things.
All right, so look, I go back to my father died at 16, so I haven't had parents since 16 on, and you obviously
What about your mom?
My mom left our family before that. We reconnected just a few years ago, honestly. Oh, wow. But yeah, so I've been on my own, lived with my grandmother for a minute before she dropped dead in front of us.
Damn.
But on my own since. So you seem to, I mean, I know there were people in your life, but you didn't have parents really that were there. What about your mom through all this? Are you seeing her at all during any of this? Are you getting to spend time with her, get to know her?
Yeah, I mean, I'm contacting her to some degree, but at this point, you know, it's all really dependent on the foster parents and whether they will allow.
Oh, so that's a permission thing? They don't have to let your biological parents contact
because
you?
She's lost her right.
Ah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, once you're gone for so long.
So they legally are your guy, what do they say, your legal guardian?
The state is, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, for sure.
So are your parents still alive today?
Yeah.
They are, and do you have a relationship with them now?
Yeah, I have a good relationship with both of them.
Tell me about your relationship with your dad. Like, does he come to see you do stand-up? Where does he live now?
My dad has never seen me do stand-up live.
Has he seen the Netflix special?
Yeah.
Did he like it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, good. But not live. Where is he? Is he still in the Maryland, D.C. area?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. My mom...
You perform there? Have you done D.C. or anything?
I haven't, no.
Okay.
But my mom did, because we filmed in New York, my mom did come down.
Was that her first time seeing you?
Go up. That was her first time seeing me live, yeah.
How was it for her?
Oh, it was great.
She loved it.
Oh, yeah. We cried. We did.
Oh,
you know,
that's awesome.
She brought her friends, you know, that were like, oh, do you really got a son? You know, teasing her and shit like that. Because me and her, because we didn't just start being close. We've been close for like, you know, 12, 13 years now.
How did you reconnect and sort of start solidifying that bond?
We just did. Like, we never really lost contact to like that because I was always in contact with my brother and my aunts and aunties and all of that. But I think as we got older, the more I realized that I'm like her.
Are you like her?
Oh, yeah.
In what ways?
Just my our attitude, the way we think.
I mean, she did beat that motherfucker with an iron.
Yeah, yeah. Just the way that we think for ourselves, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's that kind of thing. Yeah, because I always get that from other family members.
Well,
be like,
do you also see that parallel, or did you possibly in your grandmother? I mean, maybe that's a survival thing through the foster care system. You said it was you, your mom, and your grandmom, right?
Right.
So I'm listen, there's a chip on your shoulder and there's one on mine too. There's one on a lot of people, but I honestly, I don't ever want it to go away. It's the thing that's put me right here and it's allowed me to still survive on this fucking rock in outer space, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mind chiseling it a little bit, but I don't want that motherfucker ever to go away.
Yeah, because honestly, it's not, it isn't the issue. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's all the other things, you know, it's like, cause you never want to fall into the trap of going, cause I know plenty of people that do this where they go, well, now I have a name for what's wrong with me. And so the work's done.
Right.
You know,
so it's now like, it's classified.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, no, man, it's like the doctor going, you have cancer. It's like, well that's
now
not the,
what?
Yeah, right. That's not the end. Okay. You still got treatment. Yeah. So, you know, it's the
diagnosis.
Yeah.
That's like, not the treatment.
That's what it is, man. It's just constantly working. I mean, it's just like comedy. It's like, you know, you just got to keep doing
repetition,
that work every day.
Repetition. Yep. What about your dad? When did you guys decide to connect or how did you reconnect?
I mean, we never really lost contact either.
Even after that argument?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't speak for a while after that, but it was still like, it's because it's something about your dad where it's like you still want them to be proud of you somehow, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it was that. It was like once he said, I'm proud of you, that that so happened to be around the age. So I happened to be the age that he was when
he had you.
Well, no, when we fell out.
Okay, so when did he said I'm proud of you to you about what?
Just that I wasn't quitting. That I was like, I'm doing this. You know, this is stand up, and I was like, mm-hmm. I'm doing this, Pop. Like I ain't. This is what I'm doing. You know what I mean? He was like, all right. Well, I got you. Like I'm proud of you. You know, don't quit.
Those four words that meant everything.
Yeah, because I always quit everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like when he dropped me off, because he's the one who dropped me off to the MEPS to join the Marine Corps.
MEPS, yeah.
And he was like, I'll see you in a couple weeks.
He knew.
He thought I was gonna
or
quit.
Hoped. Yeah.
But he was right too. If he hadn't said that to me, I would have quit.
You would have.
Oh yeah. But it was just I was like, but I'm stubborn. Like I've accomplished a lot of things out of spite.
So how many years did you serve in the Marines? I want to go back to that.
5.
Good. First of all, thank you for your service.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think, did that help you, the military? Did the military system put structure and stuff into your life? I mean, did it help you find, you know, guidance or you know, how did it help you?
I think I needed it for at least a couple years. I needed it at the
time. How's a guy like you that's big on principle getting yelled at by dudes like that and not popping off? You've had a problem with every person of a figure of authority all the way through up to here. That seems to be a challenge.
It kind of was, but I was in a unique situation where, you know, even though there is still a tremendous amount of unfairness in the Marine Corps, but at the same time, it's evenly distributed. It's like, oh, you fucked up, everybody paying the price.
I see.
It was that, you know. And
mm-hmm. So you're not being picked on or singled out.
No, you're not being picked on. Well, some people do, but that's a whole other thing. Some people get picked on or singled out, but I wasn't. And there's a...
You never got in trouble with your mouth in the Marine Corps?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh yeah,
I definitely did. But at the same time, it was like I was in a situation where I was the only, there was a racial thing in my unit before I got there, and so when I first got there, everybody was kind of like walking on eggshells, you know. And finally, I was like, "Hey, everybody, just chill. Like, say whatever you want to say, and I'm gonna say whatever the fuck I want to say, you know. But I'm better at you, better than you at that." You know what I mean? And so it was, I had a little more leeway than everybody else when it came to like speaking my mind or speaking our mind, you know, and that's when I started getting laughed. That's kind of when I became funny.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. And so I did, every now and then I would get in trouble for little shit, but I never got in no official trouble.
Okay.
I would get
You weren't a problem child in the military.
I was not. I was not good at my job.
What was your job in the military?
I was a tactical air operations module repairman.
What is that?
I fixed the box with a bunch of computers in it.
But you weren't good at it?
I mean, I was good at that part, but I wasn't good at the Marine part.
Oh, I see.
You know, the being on time. following all the rules and all that. Because
that's what I'm talking about. You haven't had any.
Yeah, I was just barely holding it together when in there. It wasn't for me, which was weird because everyone thought I would be a lifer. I was like, ain't no fucking way.
But you did five. That's one extra. Why'd you do five?
It was just the job. Because if you have a job that makes you go to school for longer than 6 months, you got to do an extra year.
And where were you? San Diego? Where were you based?
I was stationed in San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, dream place. And the thing is, every place outside of that is shithole. So it's all downhill from there. There's no way I was going to sign up again.
Yeah.
Nah. Yeah. Then I started doing stand. I mean, I left there. I worked at Intel for like a little while, and then I got fired from that. And then I worked at the Pentagon for like.
Did you really?
A year or some change. Yeah. I worked for Lockheed. I was a subcontractor for Lockheed for the Pentagon. And that was like a year and some change. And then got laid off from that, moved back to San Diego, started growing weed.
Did you really?
Yeah, was not good at that either.
You quit that?
I quit that. Good. Yeah. Good. And I started going to school and doing stand-up at the same time. And then I became like just real quickly, like I was the first employee at the Madhouse. That's where we met.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so much fucking stage time there, you know, and I got good fast.
Yeah.
And then I went, and then, you know, everybody kept telling me to move to LA, move to LA, move to LA. And one day I just did it, you know, and it was a mistake.
Was it? Why?
Well, it was just the way I did it. I didn't have a plan, you know. I was just like, because down there I had set my life up in such a way that all I could do was stand up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was no way to save money or none of that. And one day I just moved up here. And this was my plan. My plan was I'm just going to crash on people's couches until I find a place. And that's not a plan.
No.
No. And at the time I had severe sleep apnea. And so it's like you just burning bridges. Cause no matter how much people love you or fuck with you, it's like that ain't going to fly.
Yeah. It's, you know, not. I know.
And I remember like the first couch I stayed on, I remember I was there for like a week or two, and somebody was like, yeah, man, we got family coming to visit, so, you know, you're gonna have to find somewhere to crash for, you know, the duration. I was like, oh, so when are they leaving? They're like, we're not sure. You know, it was that kind of thing. And so I was literally on the street for like 2 days, and I remember walking to the VA. And here's the wild shit about the biggest burden, one of the biggest burdens of being homeless, besides the obvious shit, it's just having all your stuff. Just wherever you go, you got to have all your shit.
Yeah, you ain't leaving it anywhere because this shit's getting stolen. Yeah.
And you got to carry all your shit, or you got to get a cart for all your shit. And then most of the places you need to go inside of, you got to leave your shit outside. You know, it was just something that I never had thought about. But I walked to the VA and was like, yo, I don't got nowhere to stay. And they were like, okay, well, you can go stay over here. I was in like three different shelters, but the last one I ended up in was like the nicest one, which wasn't really saying much, but it was over here in Hollywood on Sunset, and I lived there for 2 years.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You lived in a VA shelter for 2 years while you were doing stand up?
Yep.
Holy shit, dude.
Yep. And
did any of them come see you?
Nope. Yeah, one or
you
two.
You should have done a show at the shelter, man.
No. See, that was the thing, too, is I didn't want comics knowing.
Why?
I don't know why at the time. I don't know why I gave a fuck so much.
Were you embarrassed?
I think I was. I think I was a little embarrassed, but it was more like I don't want nobody to see my weakness.
I hear you on that. You know what I mean? Man, that's a strength to me. You got these fucking guys bitching about their Ubers and their condos and everything else in the rain. Yeah. And you're in a fucking shelter getting out there hustling.
My
big
challenge was that.
And now you're on Netflix.
Now I'm on
Netflix. And the Honeydew.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Good for you, dude.
No, my big challenge was getting them to damn. Because there's levels of privilege in the shelter. You know, level one, two, three. And to get the next level from level. Because level one is just after you've been there for so long. Level two is like you have a job. And to get them to respect stand-up as a job, I had to do all this extra shit. Like, I had to take extra tests, extra like breathalyzers and urinalysis.
Oh, I see.
All this other shit. So for that whole time, I wasn't smoking or drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, and then I got the job at the Comedy Store as the door guy. And so they completely got off my back about it. You know what I mean? And then 6 months later, I got fired from the store. From the store.
So then what, they got back on you?
Well, they kind of got back on me, but then, you know, a bunch of shit happened in the interim where the guy that was running the place, he ended up relapsing. So the guy that was running the place ended up like doing some of the drugs he had confiscated from somebody. I guess maybe he confiscated something from somebody. And he was like, "Oh, this is my drug." You know what I mean? And it wasn't even like an investigation or nothing. Like, this motherfucker came to work one day lit. And if you ever been an addict, because that's the thing, some of the people in there are addicts, you know. And if you ever been an addict, you know when you see a motherfucker on your shit, you know. And he just came to work, just obviously, just like a whole different person, bro. It's a whole different person, like all disheveled and shit. And then they found out that like a whole bunch of the money that was supposed to be being spent wasn't actually, because that's what I was trying to tell you before we started. Like, a lot of the times these programs that's for the homeless people, it's just a prop for profit. And millions of dollars are getting funneled to people that they're not spending it on the homeless people.
They're just taking that shit.
Yeah. And that's what was happening in it. Because all of a sudden, out of the blue, after this motherfucker got caught, all of a sudden, out of the blue, we got new beds, new mattresses. They brought in the daggone, what you call the people that kill bugs? Exterminator.
Exterminator.
Yeah, all of a sudden, the
you should have had that back in the day, man.
Yeah, all of a sudden, the daggone food improved.
Man, what a fucking story, dude. Good for you. Yeah. All right, so I want to say this because we're wrapping up here, and I thank you for coming on and opening up about all this, but I didn't tell you this. I ask, sometimes I forget, but I ask guests their first time on what advice you would give to your 16-year-old self, and that is a pivotal age for you, obviously. So knowing what everything we just talked about, if you can go back and tell 16-year-old you something, what would you say?
Fuck them all. You're right. Yeah, you're right. You were right the whole time. No. No.
Listen, if that's what it is, it can be that.
I don't know, man. I guess that is would be what it is.
Be true to yourself. Stay you.
Oh, yeah, that would be it. Be true to yourself. Yeah, that was a thing that you struggled with. Be true to yourself, yeah.
Well, one more time, please promote everything you'd like to promote. Definitely your Netflix special, all that.
Yeah, Netflix special.
What's your website again where they can go see your dates?
Season 3 of the stand-ups. You can go to my link tree off of any of my socials, BS Comedian, or you can go to BrianSimpsonComedy.com and see any of my tour dates or festival dates.
All right, man. Well, thank you again for coming on.
Yeah.
As always, Ryan Sickler on all social media, RyanSickler.com. We'll talk to y'all next week.